Get this set up. Just quickly, as we're getting started here, very much appreciate the fact that we can gather together in the name of the Lord. And one of the great things Laura and I appreciate is the Lord having joined us together in this fellowship. And our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And it isn't something that we take lightly. It isn't something that we just, you know, do haphazardly. We love this fellowship and we love being your pastors, Laura and I, and it's a privilege and it's a tremendous honor, and it is a, we pray, a service of love and just rejoicing together, growing together in Jesus Christ. And it is a care and a concern that we, it is a privilege to be with you. We just thank the Lord together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your loving kindness. You have brought this family together in Jesus. And we're a small portion of it, Lord, but we thank you with all our hearts. And we look to you and we trust you as you guide and for us to grow into the greater measure of Jesus as your disciples, Jesus. And we come to you and we partake of this word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, so please stand as we declare the Shema together in honor and recognition that we are before the Lord God in His holy and awesome presence. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheika, Ve'akol Levavcha, Uvekol Neshevcha, Uvekol Madecha, Ve'ahavta Racha Kamocha, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your spirit, making it very much the course, the means, the direction of our walk on this earth together. Amen. Please be seated. 1 Kings 6:13. And I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. After our two-week Easter message hiatus, we're back into our consideration of the great and awesome reality that the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the altogether wonderful one, the one true living Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, would fulfill the tremendous promise made to humanity to come and dwell among us. Not only that, but he made the way for that to take place through the very giving of his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him and calls upon his name for salvation will be adopted into the very family of the Almighty. This is just something that so boggles the mind of any human being, that God would so love such as we are to suffer that death on the cross in our stead. That the wonderful and perfect one would set aside his divinity to take upon him human flesh with all the temptations and all the pains, without any sin, and willingly suffer the severest of abuse from the very ones he came to save, is without any comprehension. In the course of that suffering, he was mutilated, crowned with thorns that tore away the skin of his scalp, was nailed hand and foot to a cross, was spat upon, ridiculed, tortured, and tormented, then stabbed with a spear to show you and to show me how much this promise of the becoming the redeemed people of Jehovah meant to the Godhead. In the power of his resurrection from the dead, the triumphant glory of God was seen in the beauty of his awesomely raising us up, those who would believe upon Jesus, into the heavenlies to be seated together with him. We will eternally proclaim his glory and his splendor as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. No power can ever again be raised against him, because he vanquished it all in the omnipotent display of the grandeur and the plan and the purpose of God in the reality of our wondrously evidenced union with the Creator, our God. It's all in Jesus Christ. We pick up this amazing truth with what the prophet Isaiah has to relate in Isaiah 57:15. This is in terms of what is now the truth of what God has accomplished forever and forevermore. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is Holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is the working outcome of the life that has now been given in Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Rabbi. There is a newness of being in terms of who we are and how we live now on this earth. We are revived in the Spirit, communing heart to heart and spirit to spirit with our very Lord. We walk with Him and we talk with Him and we count on Him to meet the every challenge of every day that lies before us. All is seen with the viewpoint of what He would have us to do and to say as our time on this earth is used to encourage and to help and to declare the comfort and the message of the only true hope in Jesus to those whom He would bring into our lives. The prophet Ezekiel then joins into the growing and ecstatic reality of what it means to know that God has accomplished that which has ever been the divine will in Jesus, the Messiah, our Lord. Please read along with me in Ezekiel 37, 25 through 28. As we revel in the wondrous and astonishing plan and purpose of that is shown forth in Jesus. He gathers together and establishes His people, the church, into His eternal placement within the scope and sequence, which shows forth His overwhelmingly incredible and magnificent will in operation. Ezekiel 37, 25 through 28. And they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David my servant shall be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Jumping forward then into the New Testament, in John 4, 21 through 24, we have the very reality of what was soon to be accomplished being explained to the woman at the well. Jesus made known that which had been hidden for the ages past. There was coming, and now is, a time when humanity would not see God as some unapproachable deity placed among all the various images of mankind into heaven. Rather, through Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father, heaven came down to earth and showed forth the glory of God to such as would receive and would turn wholeheartedly to Him. John 4:21-24, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." This is the declaration of the manifest working power of God to bring about such a living relationship between Creator and creation. The fact of the matter is that unless God does the work, it will never take place. He alone is the one who brings forth life in Christ Jesus, the awakening of our spirits. This enables us to so worship and to abide with Him, spirit to spirit, in the truth of who Jesus is and all that He has done. The key for us to recognize and to appreciate and to humbly manifest is the truth that this is in place now, today. The Holy Spirit is so very active in our beings as He abides in us and makes known that which is fully honoring unto God moment by moment and day after day. It is not a matter of guesswork or of educated logical reasoning through dissertational means. It is by the enlivening working power of the Word as the Holy Spirit brings forth the very wisdom of God every time it is required. He is our wisdom in the midst of the deepest searching times of trying to honor and to obey God. In truth and reality, there is never a moment that passes in which we are not absolutely endowed with the very presence of God now at work within us to show forth that which would bring the greater honor and praise and adoration unto the throne of the Most High. That's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:16-18 is so insistent that we need to abstain from anything that would bring forth other than the will of God being accomplished in our every interaction with those of this realm. We must be on constant guard to trust and to obey as God shows that we are not to become entangled again with the ways and the desires and those ensnarements of this present age. We are to keep watch on our hearts and our minds in terms of being focused on that which is always honoring to God in the midst of the day-to-day walk as we tread on this earth. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst, and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. This does not mean that we forsake those of this realm who are in such great need. When we see that tohu that which is entrapping and suffocating a helpless and hopeless person or family or community, we do step forth with the complete measure of obedience unto God. We serve to bring those lives the hope of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Be very clear on this. We do not join into their tohu. Rather, we allow the light and the shalom of Christ to shine forth, to calm the storms that are assaulting them, quenching the fires that are scorching them, soothing the sores that are covering them, and comforting the anguish which engulfs them. We bring Jesus into the midst of the fray and allow Him to use us in the every manner which would calm the storm and bring His life to the lifeless and healing to the sick and hope to the bearing. Again, here the apostle, as he so encouraged his protege and us in 2 Timothy 1:7-14. This is the way in which our lives are those obedient and ever ready and willing vessels through whom Jesus has that free and immediate access to those who are drowning in the swirling whirlpools of tohu. 2 Timothy 1:7-14. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith of which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What an utterly astounding incredible and miraculous relationship is ours now in Jesus Christ. It is something that we are to guard with the every fabric of our being, with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. We need to be committed and dedicated to the manifested reality that has become the essence of our walk together with Jehovah. Body, soul, and spirit unto Him, and through utmost obedience and instant response, allowing Him to use us to be the expression of His shalom into the lives of those so lost in sin and trespass. Then the writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews 8 through 12, brings forth the reality of what now has been so fully established, resurrection power of Jesus for all of eternity. We are made to be partakers of the new covenant of the promise of God, which is so far superior to the first. God has chosen not just to dwell among us, His people, making us the members of His very family, but He has made His essential essence to be our indwelling reality. He lives in us, not just with us. We learn His ways and His will because He has made His abode within these hearts and minds and souls that are fully unto Him. Hebrews 8 through 12. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10, concisely relates the full measure of that which has come to pass through the beloved creation of the temple of God now in Jesus Christ. There has been a complete change in the manner in which God has chosen to relate to those who now belong to Him. We are being built together into that new creation, the living temple of the Most High God, through the work and the love and the mercy and the omniscience and the omnipotence and the omnipresence of the Lord God Most High, the Creator of all that is. As we read this passage together, let it pour into our minds the manner in which His indwelling presence it be presented as the testimony and the witness of His church on this earth. our individual character and development as the people, the family of God in Jesus Christ, is to more and more perfectly show forth the very essential essence of His character, lived so flawlessly and selflessly on this earth unto all who are in such need of His salvation. 1 Peter 2, 1-10. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the Word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God, and you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We close this morning with the pronouncement that will echo throughout the ages of eternity. It is contained in Revelation 21, 3-5, if you would please turn to it. And rejoice in the goodness and the awesome splendor of what the Lord is bringing forth. He is so manifestly and completely establishing that which fulfills the promise of being our God, Heavenly Father, the living and glorified Son, and the indwelling, comforting Holy Spirit. Revelation 21, 3-5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. So be it. and I will dwell among the sons of Israel, and will not forsake people Israel. Amen and amen.